Blog Talk Radio.
Well, aloha, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to PWT Talks NXT. I'm your host, Kelly Wells. You can find me on social media at Spooky Milk, gloating about knowing that Roman Reigns was going to beat Cody Rhodes. Yeah, I mean, Twitter isn't good for much, but it's been good for that. I will tell you what's not so great. We got like a storm and flash flooding here. If you lose me, don't be super shocked, because when I get a storm and flash flooding in this area, normally my stuff drops. So I'll hang out with you as long as I can, folks, but no promises. We're talking NXT for April the 4th, 2023, coming out of WrestleMania and Stand and Deliver weekend. There's not much left to do for Bron Breakker on this particular brand except turn heel, because the guy's a meathead bully. He's a big, mean dude. This is what he was meant to do always, and I did predict on Twitter that he was going to turn heel when he went up to the main roster. Apparently he's going to turn heel before that. Your main event non-match is Carmelo and Trick come out. You gotta mute yourself, Nate. I'm dying here. Carmelo,
hey, that isn't me, that's Bruce. I'm
what?
Muted.
Bruce. Oh,
I'm not actually doing anything. It's Vanessa wrestling with aluminum foil in the background to get brownies.
Oh wow, that's all it takes. Oh, I tell you, technology, folks. Okay, so what we got is through myself, because now I'm thinking about brownies. That was a mistake. Okay, so Mello and Trick, main event segment. They want to give all the flowers, as it were, to Bron Breakker, but
they use flour to make brownies.
They do. Nate,
they are very fudgy and gooey. They're very delicious.
Could you
I
just
will say.
Not all of you? We're not going to get. Speaking of fudgy and delicious, our new champion, Mello. The whole thing that was weird about this segment to me is that Trick brained Breakker with a belt. So when Breakker gave a little bit of a nod and a bow to Mello, that wasn't a surprise. But when he didn't hold back and do a little bit of a wary glance over at Williams, I was like, this is going to be the heel turn right here. You know, it's also kind of obvious given the fact that this is in the main event segment and you can't just have them shake hands and that's the end of the show, not with a bang, but a whimper. So you know something's going to happen. Anyway, Bron is about to play the part he was born to play. You can call us 515-605-9345. We've got a caller on the line here, and we'll go to him after we talk main event segment. Or you can email us at pwtorchnxt@gmail.com. And I will read this particular email before I go to you guys. This is from JB. Hi, team. It's been a while, but it's JB from Detroit. The ending to tonight's episode is the perfect example of why I cannot stand the NXT crowd, and they actively make me enjoy the product less. On his entrance to celebrate his championship, the crowd is going wild and chanting Mello. Bron comes out, completes the heel turn, then they go wild and start chanting one more time. They just try to be contrarians, and it takes me out of the submersion of the show. Moving on to another point, is it the best idea to make Bron a heel? I guess the idea is that they don't feel comfortable with him as a babyface moving up to Raw or SmackDown. In reality, though, I think his stock takes a hit the longer he stays in NXT. At this point, it shows that management doesn't believe in him, and he's been at the top of the hill for so long in NXT, I don't really think there's much more he can do. I don't see him winning the title again. He's just spinning his wheels. As always, loved the show, and go VIP. And I thought his stock would go much further down if they brought him up as a babyface after all this, or brought him up as a babyface at all, because he's just not very good at it. I think it absolutely was necessary that they turn Bron heel. I think that's where his future is. I think that's what he's going to be doing on the main roster. And I am excited to see all these things that were working against him about his personality, his in-ring personality as a babyface, work for him as a heel. I think this is going to be a pretty strong heel turn, and he's not going to have to do all that much stuff differently. He can essentially play the character he's playing and be a heel just because he's being booked against baby faces. I think that this is going to be a big step up for him. And I don't think his stock will drop by being there. I think that he's got to be there to do this test run of this heel run so they can make sure that's absolutely what they want to do. With much fewer eyes on the product than there are on Raw or SmackDown, get him to where they want him to be and then move him up in the role where they want to move him. Because obviously this guy represents a pretty big investment for them in time and money. So I think that they need this last heel run if he's going to go up heel, as I have always said that he should. Nate?
So personally, I'm a big fan of the fudge walnut brownies. Blondies are kind of nice, too, in a pinch. I'm still thinking about brownies.
I like Ghirardelli.
Well, oh, yeah, that's some good stuff, too. Or cream cheese brownies. Have you ever tried that? Throw some cream cheese in the batter. It's great. It's delicious. Bron Breakker is a heel, and I'm just so happy that he's a heel. As we mentioned, well, actually, we didn't mention it here because it was before we hit record and actually logged in to the switchboard and started talking with you fine people. So it was before we started recording. But you know, we were talking about just how predictable this double turn was. Carmella was kind of doing a bit of a soft turn for a while now. We've seen him, you know, act a bit more of a face for quite some time at this point. Now we're finally, that face turn is finally solidified here tonight with Bron Breakker's heel turn. It's again predictable. I think this feud's probably going to continue for a little bit longer now that we see where they're going here. We've been kind of talking about, you know, what was next for the loser of the match at Stand and Deliver, in this case Bron Breakker, and you know, kind of talking about potentially going with the main roster. I was kind of swinging either way. I was kind of leaning towards him, you know, potentially going up to main roster. It seemed like it probably made more sense, but because like what really is left for him to do down here. But if they don't have anything for him on the main roster, then I guess maybe continue a feud with Carmelo Hayes. At least Hayes is the champion this time. And the one thing that I've wanted to see, and I've said it before, I think, you know, I think we're all in agreement, is we've wanted to see Bron Breakker as a heel. He was just so flat as a face. I really feel like his personality in real life, is going to be more helpful to a heel character than the type of babyface character that they've been trying to get over, and did get over to some degree. I mean, I got to give it credit where credit's due, but not, I think, to the degree that they wanted it to. I've wanted to see him turn face for a while, turn heel for a while now, actually see how he can cut his chops on the mic as a heel, potentially drop some of the stuff that allows him to revolve around his family, you know, maybe drop the, you know, barking like a dog and the, you know, dog faced gremlin stuff, and kind of give him his own identity here. Bron Breakker isn't Rick Steiner, what the heck's his name? Bron Rick Steiner. Yeah. Bron Steiner.
Bronson Rick Steiner.
Thank you. Thank you. I didn't have it in front of me and I knew I was going to butcher it once I got there. His name, you know, that's not his name. It's Bron Breakker. So he can kind of get away from that as a completely different character. Obviously as time goes on, fans are going to remember, but you know, I think as, he moves away from that with his character, people will kind of hopefully shift away from that. I don't know. They still chanted Albert at Tensai, so whatever. With Carmelo Hayes, on the other hand, I love the dude. I can't say enough about him. Glad to see him as the champion. I think he's going to flourish in a babyface role. I think he's probably, like, once his face – granted, I might come back and this might bite me in the ass, but I think when his face run, whenever that is winds up being up, and we go back and we look back on the face run versus the heel run, I'd put money on the fact his heel run's probably going to wind up being better, but I think he's still going to be a pretty damn good babyface. So I'm interested to see what we get out of both of them here.
First, I'm Bruce Lee Hazelwood. You can find me on Twitter at B_Lee253, and I am still cackling like I'm the Judgment Day at Rey Mysterio getting turned on by Dominic. At these people who thought Cody was going to win on Sunday. It's just they don't understand basic storytelling, and to see them get so mad is just so gratifying. Not because I want to defend the decision necessarily, but because it's just nice to be right, especially when everyone told you you were wrong. So to everyone who told me I was wrong, ha! Gotcha. All right, so this main event segment, predictable, needed, repeating a lot of what y'all said. Basically, the main thing here is what Kelly was saying. Braun could be the same exact person he's been, but just be it more of an asshole about it. Instead of trying to be the cool guy about it, he just needs to be the person we kind of think he might be better playing at. And then after the events of this weekend, he should definitely remove himself as far away as he can from his father's name. If you don't know, you can go ahead and look it up. No need to explain it here. But that's, let's just say, it would behoove him to maintain the Braun Breaker name. And I said, someone in a Slack said over the weekend, hey, maybe it was a real smart decision for them to make him Braun Breaker instead of going with the Steiner name. So Hayes as a babyface, I think, will do well. If not better, at least the same as his heel run. And part of that has to do with the fact that he's going to have to develop more and keep evolving as he has been. Once he gets more, he's going to have more experience, more responsibility as a champion. And with that is going to come an evolution of who he is as both a character and an in-ring worker. And I think that is going to help determine, or not just determine, but make his heel or his face run a success as champion. Now, besides Breaker, I do think there are other people, of course, on the roster that you can get him set up for. But going back to this rematch, I think it's smart, especially with the rules reversed, because, you know, I think they need to make sure Breaker as a heel can be better than the blandness of what he was as a face for the last 2 years and the whole time as champion. I'll remember Braun Breaker as a heel more than I ever did as a face breaker, and he was champion for most of 2023. So all in all, I think it was a necessary segment. To the email and the crowd, I do think that this crowd in particular has been well known to try and get itself over. It is very noticeable that they cheer for Melo, and then after the turn, they cheer for one more spear. You could argue that they were there. They got popped by the turn. They wanted to see more. And this isn't just an NXT thing. A lot of these one more time things happen a lot, whether it's a face or a heel turn. So, but this crowd does tend to be a bit much. I will note they did have some pretty loud pops throughout the night. Indy Hartwell's entrance for her match, she got a louder pop to me than when she made the entrance at the beginning of the night. So that bodes well for her, even though her match maybe doesn't bode as well. Wesley got a big pop. Axiom got a big pop. Ivy Nile got a pretty big pop too. So I think when there are certain factors in the crowd, it can definitely be a bit overbearing. But I think up until probably that last bit in the main event segment, they did a pretty good job tonight of kind of acting as they pretty much reacted as you'd want them to react to each segment. So at least in that aspect, for tonight, I think they were fine. But overall, they tend to get a bit overzealous.
All righty, let's go to the phones. We are going to talk to our very good friend, Reverend Keith. If this thing says he's actually on, and now it does, Keith, if you can hear me, say hey.
Hey, how are you guys doing tonight?
I am not too bad. I thought it was a pretty darn good episode of NXT, a palate cleanser after the apparently heavily rewritten and very flat show that was Monday Night Raw.
It was. And I want to say this to Doc Bruce before we get into the main event angle with Carmelo and Braun Breaker. I salute you, sir. You and I were probably one of 10% who has
Kelly's in there too.
Oh,
I am.
Kelly, okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. We are three of 10% of the people out there who successfully predicted that Roman Reigns would retain on Sunday night. So kudos to you and Kelly. Yes, sir.
Well, thank you. I was going to say, Kelly and I kind of had a banner weekend on predictions, so we were kind of riding high coming into tonight, very, very high. So
I'm Barry Horowitz over here, just patting myself on the back.
You said you did well with predictions, right, Bruce?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, same here. I was sharing with Brother Sean earlier. I only got one prediction wrong between both nights of WrestleMania, 14 matches. The only one I got wrong was I predicted Demon Finn Balor to defeat Edge. That was the only match I got wrong on the WrestleMania card. The only match I got wrong on the NXT card was I predicted Roxanne Perez would win or retain her title. Who would have thought that Indy Hartwell would come away with the belt, of all people?
Literally nobody.
Yep.
Nobody. But they rewarded her. I mean, she's a tireless worker. Mm-hmm. She's well-liked in the back, and she's been there for almost 3 years. My God, if she didn't win it tonight, like she said in her promo, I mean, she had even lost hope, I think, in winning it. So I'm happy for her. You know, she has an infectious smile, and she is indie wrestling. Now, moving forward to the main event angle, Kelly and I discussed last week the fact that we were predicting, or at least I was predicting, a double turn. And you could see it coming from weeks and weeks, because in Carmelo Hayes' promos and his actions and his facial expressions, you could see him becoming more likable, even down to when Trick made that match between, it was the tag match last week or week before last, and he didn't like Trick making that match, you know, when he had the team with Braun. You know, against, I think it was, what was it, Pretty Deadly, if I'm not mistaken. And so you could see it coming. You could see the fans starting to turn, even though it's a biased crowd, because it's the same 100 people that come every week. You know, you see the same faces every week on camera. But at the same token, Carmelo is very popular. When he did the main event taping before the live crowd about a month or two ago, I was told from personal sources that the fans loved him. So, you know, it's the right call. Now Braun can be stoic. He can be boring. He can be mean, nasty.
Von Wagner.
He can be a glorified Von Wagner. Yeah, now, you know, and get away with it. Like you said yourself, he'll probably be more like now that he's a heel, especially on the heels of his idiotic father doing what he did over the weekend. You know, they had to turn him heel. Now's the time. So I think that that was the right call at the right time, and now the fans can truly get behind Carmelo, and I'm sure they'll have a rematch down the line. Now, it's odd because, you know, they used Trick to get the belt for Carmelo. I was hoping my only problem with Carmelo's title win is the fact that they used Trick to get it for him. I wish they had had Carmelo win it on his own, especially knowing that he was about to turn face behind that. What are your thoughts on the way in which he won the title Saturday afternoon?
Yeah, I've been thinking about that a lot, and I agree. If this was going to be a double turn, that was a real, real weird way to go out, and it puts Trick in such a weird nebulous position where he's been acting heel. Like I almost expect him to side with Breaker because he's clearly been heel this whole time. Yeah, I understand in the moment deciding to protect Braun. If you think there's that much in him, and I think in a babyface, there's not much. I don't think there's much worth protecting as a babyface for this guy. But if they think so, then I understand the choice. If they were going to do this double turn, then it feels odd. And it makes me wonder that, like, maybe Sunday, Monday came along and they were like, you know what we could do is we could turn Braun. If we want to do that before he moves up, if we don't know what else to do with him, then maybe this can be what we do with him. I don't think that's what happened. I'm just trying to make sense of a situation that makes no sense at all. Bruce.
Yeah, so in my report on Saturday, I wrote that for a feud that was built off of respect and the top two wanting to figure out who's the best, why the hell would you have a dirty finish with interference when it should have just been clean because of how the match was built, mistakes involved in the match. Now, with what they did tonight, I think it definitely makes how the match finished on Saturday more questionable because Trick didn't really play into anything tonight besides taking Breaker's finisher. So the military press slam. If they would have gone with the clean finish, then I think – so if Breaker would have gone after Trick first, I think, and then gone after Hayes, then how things went down on Saturday would have made more sense to me. But because of how that didn't happen tonight, they should have just gone with a clean finish and then Breaker be pissed about being finished clean for the first time since did Ziggler beat him clean? If not Ziggler, Ciampa. So that first clean loss and however long, I think would have been a much better direction for him to turn heel off of than what they did on Saturday, just because of the fact that Trick didn't really play into anything that happened besides talking up Carmelo when the segment started. So, the Reverend was saying the subtle turn, the slow turn by Hayes was coming. Trick's been the one that's been acting heel. There just seems to be something lost in that part where they haven't told that story or at least connected that in any way that makes what happened on Saturday and tonight and the weeks prior to make any sense.
Nate?
I really can't find much to talk about that you guys haven't already brought up. So I'm just going to basically say ditto and pass it back. I pretty much echo everything you guys are saying. I'm glad to see these guys where they're at. I definitely, we talked about the double turn, a potential double turn for these guys for a while now. I'm glad to see they executed it. And I'm curious to see where they go from here, but I don't really have any more talking points, so move on.
He isn't the greatest color man in the business for nothing, folks.
That's right.
That's a line for Major League. I use it every time I can. Keith,
it's every week on the show.
Yeah, quite often.
That's true. Keith, what else do you have for us?
Yes, my second point pertains to the quick pace of the show. The pace was kind of along the lines of AEW Dynamite, where they had all these stellar matches, with the exception of Dijak versus Odyssey Jones. And they would just go match to match to match to match. It didn't give us a chance as fans to marinate. It was a quick pace. I would have preferred if they had separated the two matches with the two high flyers. You know, I discussed with you guys last week, I'm a huge advocate of One Dragon Lee, whom I've met personally. I told you last week he's Rush's brother, and I know him from Ring of Honor days. I would have preferred they had stretched that out and had one of those matches tonight and another one next week, because both of the matches, then they had the other matches that were pretty good tonight, you know, but it just seemed like they kept going, and everything was like, rush, 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 you know, boom, 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 match, 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 not too many backstage segments. The only backstage segments I recall was the, of course, the ongoing drama with the Fallon, what's the girl, Fallon Henry, Brooks and Jensen, the Virgin, and then they had the backstage with the, they had the backstage segment with the two tag team champions, the women's champions. And so that was the only thing that separated the matches. I just felt like they should have stretched some of these matches into next week. But it was a good show. It was just so quickly paced. What was your thoughts on the quick pacing of the match, the lack of follow-up on the matches, and them just, you know, trying to over-deliver tonight?
You know, it's weird. I take down the number of matches, the number of minutes, all of that stuff every week. And what's weird is, this show didn't have – this was on the slightly low end of average for wrestling minutes, 45 minutes and 43 seconds, but I still saw the same thing you did in terms of pacing. So it must just – something about this was breakneck in the way that it was a year or two ago when they were really starting to head this way, gosh, I guess longer than that ago, in the black and gold era where you didn't really have a chance to breathe. This is what they called in the days of Vince Russo crash TV. You throw so many things at the wall so quickly that the audience doesn't have time to think of whether or not what they saw was good. As long as what they're seeing now is new. And I kind of saw that too. I didn't – like, I don't have a lot to say negatively about any specific segment, although I completely agree with you that those two matches, Fraser Lee and Axiom Lee, should have been spaced out differently, especially as the guy who was on the recap tonight. I would say I would really have appreciated – those two to be on different nights. So yeah, I noticed that speed too. And I literally for half the show was just chalking it up to the fact that the last wrestling show I watched was Monday Night Raw, which had one of the slowest paces of a major wrestling show that I've ever seen. And on the Monday after, just insane, like biggest crowd on TV they've had for a very long time. And that was the show. I saw what you saw. I can't exactly say why, but I saw the same thing, Nate.
Yeah, it's weird. Like I wouldn't necessarily say like I saw some strange pacing, but there were some like strange things that I did see with like maybe like booking. For example, like the women's championship going on right in the middle of the show. Now, I think I might have wanted to see that main event. However, Wesley and Axe, they were going to put on a better performance anyway. Excuse me. So I guess that kind of makes sense in the end why, you know, when I went on to the main event. But at least when it was happening, it kind of like, I don't know. I wish I would have liked to maybe see that either open the show or be in the main event, especially where the men's championship really wasn't the defended or anything on the show. I mean, I guess we closed the show with it, but I do like to see, you know, some more focus on the titles. And I'm one of those people that likes to see the titles either kicking off the show or in the main event. That said, there definitely did seem like there was a weird feel to the show tonight. Now I don't know if that's just I'm not really a conspiracy theorist. I'm just going to say, I don't know if that's a conspiracy theorist in me or not. But obviously, you know, Vince is now back and making changes to Raw, even though he said he's not going to. Excuse me one second. Sorry about that. He's making changes to Raw, even though he said he wouldn't. And I'm almost wondering if there's like a trickle-down effect here. I'm not saying that he's making changes to NXT directly, but I'm just wondering if maybe people are just reverting to their old ways because Vince is back. Like, whether it's subconsciously or they're doing it because they don't want to get in trouble or whatever. I don't know. But something did feel different about this show tonight. I can't put my finger on what kind of, you know, like you were saying, Kelly, I really can't, but you know, the one thing, like I said, that did stand out to me was the placement of the women's match. Like I said, that there was a strange, kind of a strange feel about it. So yeah.
Bruce.
Maybe because I wasn't doing the report, the show didn't feel oddly paced or fast-paced to me. It just felt like a regular show. There were a couple more backstage segments off the top of my head. There was the Ilya Dragunov interview that was Von Wagner. There was Mackenzie interviewing Nathan Fraser after the match. So there was some follow-up and there were some builds. A couple more backstage segments. And when they had the wrestle, the stand-and-deliver picture they showed in between breaks, too. So there were some things broken up, but to me, it didn't feel too fast. Now, again, as someone who wasn't doing the report, I thoroughly enjoyed watching my two sons, Dragon Lee and Wesley, go out there and do their thing. Both matches were really great. As you wrote in your report, though, Kelly, pretty much criminal that for a show with limited commercial breaks, they put a big commercial in the Dragon Lee-Nathan Fraser match. That kind of took it out of me. But when they came back, the second half of the match was pretty good, was pretty fast. And so I wish I had been able to see the rest because, you know, I said it before, I use the USA Network player and they don't show the flip screen break. They just show the full screen commercials, so I don't get to see any of that. And then that cardiac kick that Wesley hit on Axia might have been the most vicious one I've seen hit. It looked like both of his shins came down the back of Axiom's head. I really do appreciate how well my son did tonight. I just don't feel like the pacing was that much different to me. And again, maybe it's because Raw was such a slog last night that I felt like this just felt normal. That first hour of Raw was really patience testing. So it's the first episode of Raw I've watched beginning to end in a long time, too. And it's the last one I'm going to watch beginning to end in a long time. So I think what I was able to watch tonight, or at least from my observation point, not as the live reviewer, was that it flowed nicely to me. I didn't think there was anything that overstayed its welcome or anything that was misplaced. I think the women's match, if I remember correctly on the timing, was the top of the hour match, so the match that leads into the second hour. And usually you put a not quite main event, but something that will keep viewers' attentions throughout for that time, so that you lead into the next hour for your numbers. Was there anything else I want to say about the pacing? No, I think that's it.
Yeah, and I think part of it could be the fact that the kind of matches they put on are just that way. And, mm-hmm. and a lot of it is just the people they have on hand right now. But Fraser Lee, Axiom Lee, I mean, those obviously were fast. Hartwell Stark got at like a decent-ish pace. Hartwell never quite gets into that last gear, but you know what I mean. Jones and Dijak did as much as they could with what very little time they had. The tag opener was fast-paced, as every tag team on this brand tends to be. And Nile and Paxley went out there and tore each other apart like they were having a feud. They had the match they were supposed to have. So that could have been it, too. We didn't have our Gunther, Sheamus, Drew McIntyre out there, and maybe that's what we needed. Keith, what else do you have?
Next, I want to discuss the women's title scene. It was good to see a returning Cora Jade tonight, although I didn't even recognize her because she had long hair, and I thought when we last saw her, she had short hair. But either way, she looked more muscular. Well, like, she picked up about 10 pounds. She looked better. And I think she's going to force Indy to wrestle at a higher level, as you was alluding to the fact that Indy never gets into second or third gear, which is true. So by Cora Jade wrestling her or challenging her in the weeks and months to come, that will help Indy progress to a level where she can finally be called up to the main roster. Also, if you inject Tiffany Stratton and Zoe, who lost to her tonight, you've got four women right there who can ignite, or at least three of those four minus Indy, that can ignite a fire in the women's title picture. Like I said, I was surprised that they put the strap on Indy, but she deserves it. She's been loyal, dedicated, a hard worker. She's been in and out of multiple storylines with The Way, with Dexter. So I'm happy for her, but at the same token, I do not see a long title reign for her. It will also be interesting to see how they inject Roxanne Perez back into the title scene. Thank you so much, guys, for taking my call. I look forward to speaking with you again next week. Let us all continue to get these predictions in order. God bless.
Yes, indeed. We thank you, as always. And yeah, let's not get too many of the predictions right, because then we won't need to watch this show anymore. But it is fun to be that correct on WrestleMania weekend. Yep. All right. Got to brag to your friends sometimes. It's got to be done. Okay.
That's right.
So
God bless.
Yeah. Yes. We will talk to you next weekend. Thank you. Okay. So Tony D and Stax versus Pretty Deadly was our opener. Was that where I was going to go next? I guess it can be. You know, Tony D, he's really kind of coming out of nowhere. And like these last couple of matches, the match at Stand and Deliver, the match here, the guy is just, It's like, where's this been? because he's gone out there and he's been just kind of a, I'm not going to say like a clod, but he's been out there and he hasn't been doing all this power stuff. And now he is. So I'm excited. Like, he's been lagging behind Stax, honestly. And he really kind of is stepping forward into a, but now it seems like the guy's so damaged, they didn't think twice about having him eat the pin in this match. Pretty deadly over Tony D and Stax in the opener, in 7-12 with a kind of strange convoluted finish, which is kind of what they do with Pretty Deadly, where they switch places, the two guys did, because you couldn't see their heads. And like, did he really have to switch places if he could get up and do that anyway? I don't know, but they're too cute by half with some of these tag team finishes, and that's where it's going to go. I threw myself because I was going to talk women's title picture and do that a little bit more. I will do that right after this match. I crossed out the wrong line on my notes. Inside baseball, folks, this is the thrilling stuff that you tune in for. So let's talk this tag opener, if there is much meat on the bone, and let's go into that very interesting women's picture, Bruce.
Yeah, so you and I, when we talked on Sunday about Saturday's show, we just came out like, how the hell did Tony D'Angelo become the most impressive wrestler in the match with those other people? And it continued tonight. That double A spine buster he pulled out, very nice. He's just adding a bit more. And excuse me. When I first joined the three of you with Tom at the time, I was higher on Tony D'Angelo than the three of you. It's taken a long time for that belief to come back around. But if he continues doing what he did on Saturday, what he did tonight, we know he can do character work. If he can do this, and he also had a really vicious double leg takedown early in the match, I think on Prince. If he can use, again, I always keep saying, if he can channel that amateur background kind and just use that to add some more viciousness to what he's doing as his base, I think he'll be fine, and we're seeing that. I was kind of actually hoping that D'Angelo and Stax would get the win here. But then when you think about what he said on Saturday about them needing, he's still trying to get Stax to believe him when he says that they're a team and he's not an underling no more. So I think the story is going to continue to be D'Angelo doing his best to win Stax, not win Stax over, but to finally get Stax to understand that they're in an actual partnership. And I think it eventually leads to a babyface run to the titles, because I think the fans are going to get behind them when that does actually happen. I think this is a good spot for D'Angelo, because as a singles competitor, his stuff was definitely stagnating. So maybe what he is, his niche is that is someone who is a tag team wrestler, which there's nothing wrong with that.
All right, Nate on the tag opener.
You know, I kind of agree with what you're saying. It's, you know, maybe his niche is kind of a tag team wrestler, because, you know, he's not a bad wrestler. I mean, you know, he's got the fundamentals, like he's, you know, he's decent, like, but I mean, he's not necessarily, you know, some of the extravagant performers that we see in NXT or the main roster. I feel like he's somebody that could be in a tag team with somebody like Stax, who is younger in the, well, I don't know who's younger in the business, but he's, you know, as I guess as time goes on, I mean, you know, he could partner with somebody that's a little bit younger in the business, kind of be a little bit of a mentor or something. I don't necessarily mean right now, because
like a Tank Ledger.
Yeah, something like that. Hi, Corbin. Sorry, my dog just like all of a sudden is all up in my business. What was the other thing I wanted? Stax is also somebody that, you know, like I said, he's got a ton of talent. He's somebody that I wasn't really expecting to kind of break out, but every time I watch him wrestle, I'm more impressed and more impressed. As you guys were saying, D'Angelo, especially during the other day during Stand and Deliver, definitely a bit of a breakout performance for him. I unfortunately wasn't able to make the VIP roundtable, but yeah, definitely was a bit of a breakout performance for him tonight. Kind of continued the The match itself was okay. You know, kind of a standard wrestling match. The finish was certainly a little bit different and cutesy, like you guys were alluding to. It worked for me though, because that's pretty deadly. I think I think you guys alluded the same thing for yourselves. But yeah, it certainly worked for me. It depends on, I guess it depends on who the act is. As long as the act works for me, then I love weird, kind of dumb, stupid humor in wrestling. When it calls for it anyway, I don't want it like in my main event or anything, but like in a comedy tag team match, sure. Give me the stupid, weird stuff. I thought it was great. You know, hiding your face. It was probably unnecessary, like you said, Kelly, but it was entertaining.
Come on. It was to set up the behind the back attack from Prince.
I'm saying they still probably could have done it. Otherwise, it's still entertaining though. Still entertaining. I'm not knocking it.
It's a ring apron spot I haven't seen before, so I'll give them that one.
You know,
that is
very true. I can't say I've seen that before.
All right. Let's go to that women's title picture, which is what which is what I was asked to do and what I was going to do before I so rudely interrupted myself by reading the wrong line. yes, so Indy Hartwell, your new champion, shocked the world, folks, this small part of the world that watches NXT. And she came out at the beginning of the show, and Zoe Stark got up in her face, and I really liked the touch of Zoe Stark saying, I mean, it's good news for the rest of the locker room because you're a beatable champion. I really like that they're incorporating Indy's mixed bag of wins and losses in the past to be part of this story. And when Indy couldn't finish her with some big move, a spine buster or some such in the match, she sat there and you could see the look of self-doubt on her face. She didn't sell it with the stupid overdone big open mouth you could drive a truck through and like hands on the side of her head. She looked there with a terrified, faraway look that just suggested, I don't know what to do. I don't know if I can do this. I'm not sure if I can do this. So that I liked. I like Indy. I like Zoe for this position against a newly minted babyface champion. You can put Zoe in the first job position, or you can save her for later. I think it's going to work. Either way, I really liked what was after this match. That, of course, somebody's going to call their shot. Of course, they're going to call their shot against Indy Hartwell. And Tiffany Stratton comes out to the ramp, and I say, well, yeah, that's who I predicted would be first up. And then Cora Jade, just like a shot out of nowhere from the blind side, attacks her. And before the smoke clears, I'm going through my head going, is that Roxanne? Is it Lyra Valkyria? Like, that
page
don't make sense. Yeah, sure. I'm just running through my head, like, who can this be? And when the smoke clears, I realized it's Cora. And she looks just different enough that it's in the same family of character, but there's a different tweak here. I always like to, when the heel says, you're going to wait till tomorrow, till next week, to hear what I have to say. And, of course, she says that outside afterwards and runs into Lyra Valkyria. But I was typing so many recaps at that point, I don't actually know what Lyra Valkyria said to her. I just know that it was something. I think all of a sudden, this women's title picture is in a really exciting place, and it will remain exciting until Nikita Lyons gets back, and then it won't be all that exciting anymore. But for now, it's in a really interesting place. And I think that the best thing about this indie reign is that we really, really don't know what to expect out of it. There's a lot of baby faces or heels that could have won this. And I feel like we'd get a good reign, but we'd know what we were going to see. I don't know what we're going to see with Indy, and I'm pretty psyched about that, Bruce.
Yeah, so I forgot to mention when Reverend Keith brought up Cora Jade, why you might not have recognized her, because she looked a lot like NXT Paige coming out there. Her hair also reminded me of, like, she could be Caitlyn's little sister or something. So the picture is definitely intriguing now because Roxanne Perez had gone through a lot of people. It also makes sense for Cora Jade to come back now when Perez isn't the champion, because there was no way she was going to get another shot while Perez was champion because of Perez basically winning their feud beforehand. So and the thing with Valkyria, I think, was basically Valkyria just telling her, we have unfinished business, because of Battle Royal, where Jade failed to eliminate Valkyria a few times, was eliminated by Valkyria, and then came back to eventually help cause Valkyria to be eliminated. So when I was on 2 weeks ago with Nate, that must have been it, we even talked about the fact that when Cora Jade does return, it's probably why Valkyria has, there's a ready-made story with her because of all that Battle Royal stuff. And it seems like they have two, so NXT tends to do a good job of making sure there's multiple stories set up for people so that when one feud ends, or at least during an ongoing feud, they have a path set up for what happens after. So you have Cora Jade making her claim to the title. You have Lyra Valkyria there also. I think Stratton coming out first might give her the first dibs, even though Jade made the attack. What I was saying on Saturday in my report and to you on Sunday and also in our chat is that I wouldn't be surprised to see Indy and or have Dexter come back and slowly but surely have Indy start turning heel, doing more things, more dastardly things each and every title defense to retain her title. And eventually it gets to the point where the crowd turns on her because she uses Dexter to do some dastardly things to retain, and she becomes a heel. And then I think while as a face she does have good or great fan connection and reactions, we saw that tonight. One thing that I think as a face she tends to not do as well as is have matches. When she was doing a bit of the indie strong style and having more of a heel edge to her, her matches during that time when she was winning too were much better, and I really liked those matches. So I think that that could be a path thing, and honestly, I think it's the best path at this point. I'm not sure how long you can go with the not-so-confident babyface champion, because we've seen that before, too. I mean, that was kind of the whole basis of Randy Orton's first championship, if I remember correctly, as well. So I want to see them progress and have Indy be more, her character evolve more into one. Even in the way, I wouldn't say she was necessarily a heel. So kind of like with Braun, we've never really seen Indy as a full-fledged heel, and I think that would be the best path for her development, both as a character and in the ring. But as you said, Kelly, the options now for the women's division are opened up. There's going to be that match with Mako Satomura sometime, I think, maybe. And we'll see then and there, I think, if Indy Hartwell's progression has reached a certain threshold or not.
Nate, on the ladies.
Yeah, so this was actually a pretty decent match for me. I don't know what you guys necessarily just talked about, because I had to run outside real quick and let my dog out, so I might repeat things or whatever. But you know, it was a decent match for me. Like I said, I was kind of surprised to see it in the middle of the show. You know, like Bruce, you pointed out a bit ago, like, you know, you build something in the middle of the show to keep people interested. And, you know, that 100% true. I just, I was kind of surprised to see the women's title in that spot. I thought maybe it would be ending the show. That's all. But still, I'm still shocked that Indy won the title. I think we all are. Mm-hmm. You know, I really did not see that coming whatsoever. I really expected a Roxanne Perez win, especially since it seemed like, at least to me, I mean, it's not like, you know, I necessarily have any confirmation of this, but at least in my opinion, like, that whole ladder match was kind of thrown together based on this, I guess, injury or whatever reason it was that Cora Jade may have not have been able to compete, that, you know,
Roxanne Perez.
Yeah, I said Cora Jade. I meant Roxanne Perez. Thank you. Yeah, whatever reason it was that she wasn't able to compete. So I felt like it was probably going to be Roxanne Perez to retain. It seemed like that was probably the case, considering, like, you know, the build up to the ladder match. And then they threw the swerve at us. And I'm totally fine with something like that in wrestling every once in a while, especially if it's good. I think it might be yet to seen if it's going to necessarily be good or not. And I hate saying that because I love Indy. I absolutely love the character. I really got invested in her in the Index storyline, and everything that she did with the Way. And I feel like she's been kind of lost in everything over the past, however long it's been since the Way has been gone and Dexter's been either on the main roster or gone or on the main roster again. There's that. I just lost my point. I lost my train of thought. I apologize. It's been a day. It has been a day. So it might happen to me more than once today, more so than normal. But long story short, Indy wasn't necessarily somebody that I ever thought would reach this particular level. I didn't think she was going to break through the ceiling that was probably the upper mid card, potentially maybe a main level or main event level gatekeeper. But I didn't think she was going to necessarily get up to this point. And I hate to say she might be a transitional champion, but she might be. I kind of want to see her have like a halfway decent run with the belt. I think she deserves it. One thing I wrote in the hits and misses tonight, she's certainly not the best wrestler on the card. Or on the roster rather. But she's a decent worker. I feel like she's got enough charisma where she can carry the brand for a little while. But I think it might be a short reign for her. I don't know. I hope not. And I hope we do wind up getting to that Mako Satomura match. Seiko Matamor. Mako Satomura match. There's something in the back of my head that's going, this might be a little shorter than you hope.
All right. Let's talk about two fast-paced matches, including a babyface named Lee facing another babyface, because that explains two of the matches that were on the show. Nathan Fraser versus Dragon Lee. This is your Dragon Lee debut on NXT Weekly TV. He wins with a kind of a running knee, kind of a, like he didn't use, I don't think he stepped up on Fraser, but it was kind of a Shining Wizard-y thing. 10:09, Dragon Lee over Nathan Fraser. Nathan Fraser gets all introspective. He's sick and tired of Vic and McKenzie not being able to pronounce Fraser and instead saying Fraser. He didn't say that, but you know he's thinking it, folks. So Dragon Lee goes over Fraser and Fraser gets the mic time and says, this is changing my perspective. And when you change somebody's perspective, you change their reality. I don't know. I don't know what that means for Fraser. If he's going into the multiverse of madness, I think that's what he's saying. I don't know where this is headed for Fraser. I don't see a heel turn for this guy. So I really don't know what this can be. But maybe
he's going to go on a darkness retreat with Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, good God. That would be the biggest heel turn available.
This is a Vikings fan speaking, Kelly.
It doesn't matter. I would loathe that guy. I actually didn't mind him until semi-recently. It is not a Vikings angle that makes me dislike Aaron Rodgers. Wes Lee, North American champion, defends against Axiom. It was good. Can you believe it, folks? 10:41. Lee wins with that real nice cardiac kick on Axiom. And then in just a nice novel bit of humor, Scripps makes threats on the screens and then he flies into the ring. But Axiom, because he's not a complete idiot, looks around because he knows he's about to be attacked. And he drop kicks Scripps out of the air. And the audience goes crazy for this because this is not something that babyfaces do. If they're going to be sucker punched, they just stand there looking the other way like an idiot and they take it. That's what they do. But our erstwhile A-Kid was not willing to let that happen. And he kicked Wesley. No, he sure didn't. He kicked Scripps out of the air and said, I am going to expose you. So return a Reginald, maybe. But think of all those classic Scripps moments that we've had and how we no longer will be able to look at them with the same fondness. So on guys named Lee fighting other guys, a guy named Lee.
Well, again, my two sons make me very proud every time I see them out there. It's great to be a Lee, be in the house of Lee. Great, fantastic matches. Again, like I said, if you weren't able to watch Stand and Deliver, what you saw on Saturday with Dragon Lee is what you saw here. Speed, skill, power, athleticism, connection with the crowd, charisma, intensity, offense that looks believable, even when he can do some of the high-flying stuff. Nothing about that first match was unexpected, and that doesn't make it any bad. It was a great match, fast-paced, as you were saying. Wesley, Axiom, I think my favorite part of this match was Lee went for the cardiac kick earlier in the match, and Axiom went to go counter it with the golden ratio. Wes basically turned it into a chest stomp to counter the golden ratio. So I think, you know, that was a nice counter we haven't seen before to that kick. And I think when Scripps attacked him, it wasn't a drop kick. It was actually the golden ratio he nailed Trips with, which is why he was so out of it. And the funniest part to me was after Axiom said that, Vic goes, if you didn't hear what Axiom said over the crowd, and then they just cut to McKenzie interviewing Nathan Fraser, I think it was. So that was pretty funny. They never actually went back to that.
He actually said it kind of quietly after. So they did the segment, and he goes, and then he just goes, like he just kind of lamely jumps in and goes, he said he's going to expose Scripps, and then they go to commercial or whatever. He had to, like, spit it out real fast.
One thing I want to talk about real quick is this, is Wesley basically defending the title every week in an open challenge. We've kind of seen the gamut of the expected people to challenge him. Axiom was kind of the last person who he'd been trying for so long to get that singles match, and he got it. He lost. And it almost looked like Axiom at the end of the match was either going to a heel turn or what he actually did, which was kind of have a contemplative moment until Scripps did the whole thing, right? For me, I think the next person I want to see answer the open challenge for Wesley is Eddie Thorpe. I think that would – I don't think he'd win, of course. I would have booked him to win. But having someone like Lee bump for you, the intensity that those two can go at it and the pace at which they can have that kind of a match, I think would be not an introduction because he had his match already with Miles Bourne, but – basically another helping of what Eddie Thorpe can do in the ring. And he is going to be something different having trained in the dojo and being a little more of the strong style, especially at his size, than we see in NXT. So for me, if they're going to continue with the open challenge, I really want them to put Eddie Thorpe out there as the next opponent.
Nate?
I didn't think about that, but I love that as a thought for Eddie Thorpe and a way to debut him, you know, for an open challenge. I really hope that Wesley continues the open challenge. I think, like, it's not something that I want to see people like wrestlers go to a lot. I mean, you know, John Cena did an open challenge every once in a while. You see, you know, heck, I mean, you know, Sammy and Kevin just did a tag team open challenge and fought the Street Profits on Raw. You know, it's not something I want to see all the time, but I like when Wesley does it because watching his story rise from, you know, just this kind of former tag team wrestler that you know, was struggling to find his place in the singles competition world, single competitor world. Like he finally did that. This is the culmination of his journey and all of that. So I'd like to see him as champion and seeing him do this open challenge. It's interesting to me. Seeing, like I said, Eddie Thorpe, I think would be a great opponent for him for something like that. You know, he's certainly somebody that, I'm also dealing with a work issue at the same time. I'm on call tonight. So I've got my boss pinging me. So I keep hearing my notifications for Slack going off. But yeah, so long story short, you know, Wesley, great North American champion, love the open challenge. The match itself here tonight, I thought was awesome. It was probably my second favorite match of the night, which is might be surprising to some people. My favorite, because I may need to drop off and take care of something for work. My favorite being the Ivy Nile and Tatum Paxley match, because I thought that was just awesome. I thought the two of them were over the top, and they really made that look like a brutal, emotional fight. So that was my favorite match for that reason. Even though it was shorter, probably wasn't as good. I loved the progression for those two particular competitors. But we're not talking about them. We're talking about Wesley and Axiom. The match itself, like I said, was great. Probably my second favorite of the night. The comedic spot with Scripps at the end, I thought was fantastic. I would like to kind of see Scripps show up a little bit more and kind of do some comedic spots like that if he's going to be around. I'm not sure I like the character, but if he's going to be here, give me some R-Truth moments, because, you know, R-Truth's injured.
All right. I'm going to say thanks, Nate. Take care of that thing so you do not feel like you are being yanked in two different directions, because I'm not going to be pinging you with stuff. And it sounds like
yeah.
sounds like the damn wiener boss is going to keep doing that to you.
So you know, email's down. So I got to go take care of that, guys.
All right, man.
All right.
Thanks for being here. And we will two-man boot this to the end.
Sounds good.
Two other matches on this one.